Welcome to MindTap, a scientific perspective on mental health. Each week, we will investigate a unique aspect of mental health, providing insights from individuals and the local community.
My name is Jessica. I'm a graduate student at Idaho State University. Today's episode focuses on substance abuse, a major mental health concern for Southeast Idahoans. A goal of MindTap is to share the lived experiences of people. It's really our hope that we can help normalize conversations about mental health to a level that's similar to talking about our physical health. Last May, I spoke with Christian Powell, a fellow MindTapper and undergraduate student at Idaho State University, majoring in biological sciences. He shared with me that his experiences with substance abuse began when he was 18 years old.
And so it started with smoking weed and drinking. And then, you know, there's a random party that I was at and someone, you know, just sticks out their hand and offers me a little white pill. And it's like, oh, thanks. And didn't really even think much about it, just kind of took it after the fact. And after I started feeling the effects, I wanted to know what it was. And so I asked, I said, what was that? Like, oh, it was just Vicodin, you know, nothing serious. So hydrocodone.
Christian explained that his drug use became more frequent after he injured his knee. This put him on crutches and he was let go from his job.
So all of a sudden I was out of work and I was just bored. I had two specific friends that would come over more than everyone else. And as they'd come over, they'd, you know, bring in hydrocodone, oxycodone a couple times. One of these friends had gotten their hands on morphine. And so at first it was a release and there was that social aspect of it. But then as I was doing it more, on the way out the door, I'd be like, hey, would you mind if I like gave you some money and next time you come back, you brought me a few of those to leave here.
Hydrocodone, oxycodone, and morphine are drugs broadly referred to as opioids. These drugs bind to receptors in our brains and spinal cords where they block pain signals. During May 2020, I virtually met with Dr. Steve Lawyer, a professor in the psychology department at Idaho State University, and we talked about why opioid use can become so addictive.
You know, when you and I take ibuprofen or aspirin, we don't get a sense of euphoria when we take that. That's one of the things that makes opiates really powerful, have really powerful addiction potential. If you look at the way people behave with drugs, it looks exactly the way they behave with other kinds of reinforcers like food, water, and what have you.
Just like seeking out reliable sources of the things we need to survive, an opioid addict's life starts to center around acquiring more of the drug.
I remember some of the feelings of like getting anxious and panicked because, oh, I only have like 100 milligrams of oxy left. And so that'll like maybe last me a day or two. And then what am I going to do?
With opioids being so addictive, I asked Christian how he was able to break his pattern of abuse.
Nobody really directly brought to my attention that they thought that I had a problem. It was more that I was seeing my closest friends getting in big trouble, like federal prison trouble, not just county jail trouble. And so it was just my friend circle started getting smaller and smaller and smaller until I realized, okay, I'm doing the same things that these guys are doing. And if I don't change something about that now, I'm going to be where these guys are.
The National Institute on Drug Abuse breaks down how drug use can change the activity of our brains. The brain can get used to opioids over time, and when that stimulation goes away, it can lead to withdrawals. When Christian decided to quit using opioids, his dog Cheech was a tremendous support for him.
So Cheech is a pit bull. He's three quarters pit and a quarter black lab. Anytime he sees me or hears my voice, that tail is just wagging, knocking things over, knocking nieces over on occasion. But yeah, he's just, he's 75 pounds of love. And he was also a big reason that I was able to stick with it once I did get sober. I mean, because it was always in the back of my mind that, you know, it's either death or jail. So being able to think about, if this happens to me, what's going to happen to him?
If you don't have a dog like Cheech or a loved one supporting you, you can find help from mental health care providers. But finding these resources can be really tough in rural areas.
And so one of those barriers just has to do with just the number of behavioral health practitioners that are in the community. So again, being in rural Idaho, it's really hard for people to drive for 2 hours to go find their nearest behavioral health clinician. And oftentimes, as a function of that, they simply don't get the care that they need.
That was Dr. Steve Lawyer again. Steve is the project director of the Idaho Rural Interdisciplinary Health Collaborative, a $1.1 million grant aimed at improving the treatment of opioid use disorder here in Southeast Idaho.
It's a project that's really designed with two things in mind. One is to train the next generation of clinical psychologists to work effectively in the context of interdisciplinary behavioral health care, and with a particular focus on opioid use disorder. And then the other part of the grant is really to promote behavioral health and opioid use disorder treatments in Southeast Idaho.
So far, 7 graduate students in the doctoral program in clinical psychology have been involved in the training component of the grant.
All of these students on the project received the same training for medically assisted treatment for opioid use disorder that physicians receive. And so, but we're really trying to teach our folks to work effectively from a holistic perspective where they understand the medicine as well, so that it makes them more effective on the behavioral side.
In addition to the 2 big goals of the grant that Steve mentioned, the grant is also aimed at increasing access to mental health care in rural Idaho, which includes improving telehealth options. And this technology allows patients to speak with caregivers over the internet, on their phone, computer, or even tablet.
One of the things that we did very early on, we actually connected all of our sites with a consultant who actually came and gave us a presentation on telehealth and was really helping all of our sites either strengthen their telehealth infrastructure if it was already there or create it if it wasn't. And so we were already working on that. And then COVID-19 comes and it sort of forced everyone to put the gas on.
Overcoming substance abuse is a journey that can be aided by seeking the help of health professionals. And now, Southeast Idahoans have the ability to talk to mental health care providers from home. If you are a student at Idaho State University, you have access to telehealth services through counseling and testing. And for other community members, you should ask your mental health professionals if they offer telehealth services. This is Jessica Whitaker from MindTap. Thank you so much for listening.